Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while. Call
1-800-FURNACE. Ladies and gentlemen, Garfield and friends.
We're ready to party.
We're ready to party.
I hope you bring lots of spaghetti.
Hey, you chewing the gum. I hope you brought enough for everybody.
Stop clicking. Hello, and welcome to the 60th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, Steve John Mike, and joining me, as usual, back this week, he was gone last week since he had nothing to talk about on SWATcast, is Kevin, Boss K-Dog Thompson. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I am good.
Yes. Today we will be talking about Garfield and Friends.
Yay.
So what's been going on with you?
Not much. I've been nailed to the computer chair for a while, basically, trying to add all kinds of shows to Behind the Voice Actors. Let's see, what have I added in the last week? Centurions, Denver and the Last Dinosaur, Captain Caveman, CB Bears, Jungle Cubs is the last one I did, and the one that took forever was My Little Pony. I was like, oh, My Little Pony, I remember that should be an easy one. Yeah, it has like over 70 characters. So that took one whole day almost to do that.
Yeah.
But so that's basically what I've been doing. I'm still trying to do some work on the house, but that's a pain in the butt. What else? Oh, I did a new top 10 list over there too. I did top 10 American animation studios. Stuff like Deke or like Warner Brothers or stuff like that. So I added that over at PTVA. It was kind of fun.
What about Filmation, damn it?
They're on there. They're on there.
Yes, as we're recording this, we are recording this June 6th. It probably will not air until a couple weeks from now, but we are recording this Sunday night, June 6th, and last week, news of, actually, I think you guys broke the story of the new Thundercats series, and it's
going to
be anime. Oh, Christ, help us.
it's Warner
Brothers. Jaga, help us. Save us from this anime bullshit.
It could be all right still. I'll hold back until I see
just
it.
Just from seeing that teaser image or whatever, it just doesn't...
Yeah. It's Warner Brothers, though, so they should be able to do something good.
And regardless if it's Warner Brothers or not, and it pisses me off to no end. I get... Like, I read the article that, I don't know if you did it or whoever wrote up the article over at Gerald's BehindTheVoiceActors.com. I don't know if it was just the press information that you guys copied or whatever, but apparently it's going to take, you know, the earlier stories beyond, you know, before the Third Earth stuff.
Right.
It's going to deal with King Claudus and everything else, and I'm thinking, oh, damn it, I want Larry Kenny back as Lion-O. Of course, he's playing King Claudus.
Right.
I feel like
all of a sudden it's like 1985 again, because we got a new Thundercats coming out, a new Turtles, a new Voltron, a new Transformers, a new G.I. Joe.
A new Transformers, though, you really can't count that, because new Transformers cartoons have been coming out every year for the past 10 years. I mean, you've got, what was it, in 2002, you had Armada, and then, Transformers cartoons have pretty much been like Power Rangers series. One year after the other, they would release one or another. But yeah, you're right. I guess
the reason why I say it seems like 1985 again is because not only do we have all those cartoons coming out, but then we've had the news so far of, like you said, Larry Kenny being on the Thundercats show, the news of Peter Cullen and Frank Welker being on the Transformers show. So it's like, I don't know, it's just kind of bizarre that everything's happening in this next year and a half, just like it did back then, it seems like.
Yeah, Yeah.
So hopefully a couple of them are good. I know not all of them will be good, but hopefully a couple of them will be good.
Yeah, I just... And it's funny that a new Voltron show is coming out, because we mentioned back in episode 56 that Peter Keefe a few weeks ago had passed away. And yeah. That's very, very sad.
I do have to mention, when we posted that Thundercats thing, one of the users made a comment right away. He's like, after the Larry Kenny thing, he said, well, I hope they respect all the other guys and let Earl and all those guys have their roles back, too. And I had to post back, and I said, well, that's going to be pretty hard, since two of them are dead, one of them's 84.
I don't think it would be so hard for Mr. Hammond, Grandpa Cosby. I don't think it would be so hard for him to do it.
He's up there, though.
He might be up there, but I don't think it would be so hard. I mean, you know, I don't know the guy. You know, personally I can speak for the guy, but just like from what I've heard him in interviews and what I've seen him on clips and stuff of stuff that he's done or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. at least recently, you know, his voice, it's not like it's gone. Maybe he could be like a much older Panthro yeah. or something like. You know, I don't know.
I thought Peter Newman might be a possibility only because. He has done stuff recently. He's actually in the. We were just. Did I say Peter Newman?
Yeah, you mean Richard Newman.
Richard Newman. We were just talking off air that we're both ironically watching the He-Man 2002 series, and he was actually in the He-Man 2002 series.
Peter Newman wasn't. Peter Newman was Tigra. Richard Newman was Rhinox. You're getting them confused.
Oh, okay.
Peter Newman was the one that did Tigra, so Peter hasn't. Peter's not.
No, he hasn't done anything in a while. I was getting him confused. You're right.
Yeah. You know, I know you're going to hate me for this, but it'd be great to see Lynn Lipton back as Chitara.
No, it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
That user said the same thing, and I said, my post was, two of them are dead, one of them's, I don't remember if he's 84 or 94, and I'm like, and the other one I don't want. God, I did, though, come across another show that she was in, and the recent things that I was doing, what show was it that she was in? Oh, that's going to drive me nuts now. It was one of them that I just added, and I couldn't find, I don't remember if it was Jungle Cubs or My Little Pony or one of those, but she had done a voice, and it just brought back bad memories for me. I didn't add her yet as that character, whoever it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I didn't remember. Think you would have. But, yeah, no, the last 4 or 5 years, it's just been a resurgence of what we used to have. Like, the unfortunately failed Knight Rider reboot, the failed Bionic Woman reboot, the now
American
failed...
Gladiators. Failed American Gladiators.
I thought it was okay. It wasn't.
Well, I mean, it failed as far as not lasting very long.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. What else? The failed after a pilot, and it's apparently going to be rewritten and sold to a different network of what's a damn show? Rockford Files.
Well, it was just kind of weird because for a while there, as far as the old cartoons go. And their resurgence that they were doing with them was more so in movies. I mean, obviously we've seen all the movies. We don't need to mention them all. We know them all. But it seems like it's kind of shifted now from the movies to let's go into the... I mean, I know Transformers has had shows over and over again. You know, He-Man had the 2002. G.I. Joe's had a couple. But, Turtles has been... Seems like it's gone on forever. But it seems like it's now being more of a focus that let's do all these cartoons that were old and not just... put out the live-action movies or the animated movies like we've seen with so many.
I am so happy that they have not done another He-Man live-action film yet.
Yeah, although I'd rather see that than the live-action Thundercats that was thrown around.
But, you know, that's still going around, yeah.
I know. And I'm scared about the next Turtles movie, so we're not even going to go there.
Yeah. But, it's just weird, and, you know, like you were saying earlier, you and I have both, for some strange cosmic reason, Zodak must have read our minds or something, I don't know, we are both watching the 2002 He-Man Masters of the Universe series, And I'm not going to give anything away, but I'm writing a review for it, which will be out before this episode airs. It'll be out the week of June 6th as we're recording this. And so far, not to tip my hand, I really, really, really enjoy it. I know that it's kind of tipping my hand, but it's not like where... what's a good series I can compare to? That was just a horrible, horrible reboot. Oh, God.
The first version of... The first reboot of He-Man.
Well, yeah, but... I'm talking about, like, more recently, like something being rebooted that was god-awful. I can't think of anything at the moment. I know there's stuff out there, too. Watch, as soon as we're done recording this, I pretty much guarantee it'll come back to me. But
I think the three best reboots, let's say since, I don't know, 2000 or so of 80s stuff for me has been the He-Man 2002, the mm-hmm. Turtles 2003, and probably actually, this is ironic since it's this episode, but the new Garfield version. I really like the new Garfield version. So.
I like that. I think isn't Bill Murray voicing Garfield?
No, Frank Welker is.
Frank Welker's voicing Garfield
in the new cartoon, the Garfield Show.
Yeah, I thought that was Bill Murray.
Nope.
Sounds
he
off.
He did him in the movies, but it's.
Frank I know Welker. He did him in the movies, but it sounds awfully like him in the
yeah.
cartoon.
No, Frank Welker. But. I think that's a good reboot, too. So those three are the ones that come to my mind. But like you, I can't think of a bad one right off the top of my head.
Yeah,
actually, I can. I can think of a bad one. The girly ones have been bad. The Care Bears, newer one.
Yeah.
I think there's a new My Little Pony one that's bad. And there's one other one that I've seen, the little bits and pieces of it's bad.
Mm.
But...
Yeah. I don't know if it would be, you know, we've had 60 episodes, like two or three interviews on this show. It's been 50 episodes since we did our 4-hour He-Man coverage for the original series. And no, I'm not going to add the 2002 one to the schedule because it is going past our timeline. But I'm wondering if a general overall Masters of the Universe episode for Geekcast Radio would be considered double-dipping, even though we've already talked about the original cartoon, because, I mean, just watching this, I really, really want to talk about this show.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
It's way better. Like, I kind of, just from the, I had seen what the characters looked like, I had seen what the cartoon was going to look like, basically, so I kind of knew what to expect visually. And I knew that was a good, you know, it didn't scare me off. A lot of times you see pictures and you're like, oh, God. And it didn't have that effect. So I kind of always had in the back of my head that it was possibly going to be a good show, but I didn't realize how good it was going to be until I started watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm not watching them as fast as you are, but I'm trying to, I got a conundrum, so to speak, because I started watching the He-Man and I got 10 episodes into it, but then... In the back of my head, I also want to watch all these things for the other episodes of Tooncast that we have coming up. I want to get through all of 60, however many episodes of Cops, and I want to get through all of the Dungeons & Dragons collection since I have those on DVD. And it's just like, that's a lot of cartoons to watch. I better get them.
Yeah, see, for the ones, like, you know, every now and then I'll look them up on YouTube or whatever for the ones that I don't have DVDs of, but... You know, that's pretty much it. The days of me, you know, the weeks of me going, you know, 4 days in a row watching every single episode of Thundercats or every single episode of the original He-Man cartoon, those won't come back until probably the late 90s episode, almost the close of the show when we get into the DC Animated Universe stuff. You know, if I have it on DVD and I can watch it, great, but I'm not going to watch every single episode as a refresher.
Right.
But yeah.
Just gets too much after a while.
Yes, it does. And it really gets... By the time I got to volume 5 of Voltron, oh my God, I was so sick of that fucking thing. Even though I love Voltron, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I was just so sick of that.
Well, in between trying to watch episodes for this, and basically when I add shows over at BTVA, I basically watch almost every episode and just screen cap as I watch. I mean, sometimes I skip around and do a little bit, but it's just so much watching between the two things. I enjoy it, but it is a lot of...
It depends on what kind of show it is. Yeah. Like, even though the O2 Masters cartoon won't be covered on Tooncast, because it has a very strict continuity and it's not a bunch of throwaway episodes, every episode has some tie to the previous episode. I've been able to watch this all the way through, but like the original series, it's basically it's one story per half hour, per 22 minutes, or per whatever the hell it is without commercials, you know. And some of them do have continuity and some of them don't. I can sit through, because I've got it right here, because I was doing screen caps the other day, I can sit through Secret of the Sword 8 times a day and watch it all day long and love it still. But just some of the cartoons that are just quote unquote episodic and have no continuity to them whatsoever, I have to take them.
Hard.
Well, I have to take them one at a time. And, you know, like with the one that we're going to talk about today, Garfield and Friends. If it's something where I can watch both the Garfield shorts and the U.S. Acre shorts and at least get the main, you know, the idea into my head of what it is, I'll be fine as far as remembering it.
Yeah, well, I think it's a lot easier to do episodic watching shows that were episodic if it's more like a comedy or more, you know, music-oriented or stuff like that. I think the ones that we like the most that are actually the hardest to watch are the action ones that are completely episodic, because, you know, it's hard to watch too many of those in one sitting. It does remind me of something else. You probably mentioned it on some of your other shows, but just as we were talking about it, reminded me, you said Secret of the Sword, or that the news about She-Ra being released in a complete series DVD set, and I'm hoping that my forever stand, you know, I've been holding out on buying the He-Man all the seasons. I only have the first volume of the first season, basically, in hopes that it would be released in a complete series. So I'm hoping that if She-Ra was released in a complete series, we're eventually going to see He-Man also in a complete series.
I don't know if we will ever see He-Man in the complete series. I'm not sure. I'm going to try to pull up the She-Ra story and see, because I want to see who's doing the She-Ra complete series, because I know there was a story months and months ago, last year sometime, that BCI shut down.
Yeah, they
stopped,
did.
They stopped making the He-Man properties. So, I'm not sure.
Their library was sold to somebody, and I can't remember, because I remember reading the She-Ra article, and it made mention of it, that there was a possibility that we might see a He-Man one as well. So, I can't remember who owns it now, but...
Yeah, I'm pulling up the story. Oh, okay, Classic Media, okay. I was hoping it wasn't going to be Mill Creek.
Cause, yeah, I hate Mill Creek.
Well, Mill Creek did okay with the special features with this. I mean, the majority of it's commentaries. Mm-hmm. But apparently there's PDFs for all 40 episode scripts. The only other feature outside of commentaries is... like a 10-minute thing of Mattel back in O2 talking about the cartoon and talking about the O2 toys and all that. It's Classic Media is doing this. There's no real mention. There's no real mention whether the. Let's see. Also, there has not yet been any word about a new DVD releases of the original 1983 Filmation He-Man series. So, we just have to stay tuned and find out if it will be or not.
Hopefully. Well, I hope the sales now buy the She-Ra one, so maybe that'll...
Well, yeah. And that's probably what they're going to do. Hell, that's what they did with the DCAU stuff, because they put out Batman the Complete Animated Series, watched how that sold, and then they put out Justice League and Superman the Animated Series. So, I mean, honestly, it's up to you if you want to double dip or not. I honestly like having the volume sets, if only because there's a... On the bindings, if you put them all together, there's a mural of Grayskull and Snake Mountain.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, that makes a cool visual. And I got mine, oh God, 3-4 years ago. I got them for like $20 a piece at Best Buy. So
yeah, that's not
for
bad.
Four sets at $20 a piece, that's not bad at all.
Well, the only thing that would kind of sway me the other way is, you know, with the complete box sets of G.I. Joe and Transformers now, it'd be kind of cool to have. And I have
right.
a complete series of certain other, you know, Black Star. I have Dungeons and Dragons, so I'd
yeah.
like to keep that as much as possible. The only ones that I just have the one volume of and nothing after that is basically Thundercats and He-Man.
Yeah, I seriously doubt they're going to do a Thundercats complete series. I seriously doubt that yeah. they will do that. As far as the He-Man one, the other problem I have, and I have this with the Transformers one as well, if they do a complete series He-Man, are they going to just, if they're going to just port over the volume discs, fine. But are they going to make new discs and not include any of the bonus features that are on those original volume sets? Because those volume sets, they have, like, hours and hours and hours of extras. Because they have all those, you know, if you...
You're talking about the He-Man one?
Yeah. If you play it by episode, you uh-huh. get the little episode description. You
facts.
Get an you get little fun facts from Orko. You get... just a whole bunch of stuff. So if they're going to just port over the discs from those four volumes and put it in a nice little shiny box, that would be great. But if they're not, and they're going to go the route Shout Factory went and take nothing from the old DVDs as far as the special features, that's the only reason why I'm hanging on to my Rhino Transformers DVDs right now, is for the interviews with Flint Dilley and David Wise. If those weren't on there, I would sell those in a heartbeat, because I have the Matrix set now.
Right.
It kind of made me mad when Shout Factory did not include any of the old bonus features. Because it's part of the history. You know, I understand you want to update, you know, with new features and everything else, but still, you know, those other features, those interviews with those people, they're valid and they should be on a complete series set.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyways, we're getting completely off topic here.
So that's general thoughts there.
Yeah. We haven't gotten into the history lesson yet, but I'm pretty much out of financial debt for the most part. Of course, starting in July, I have to start paying rent, which kind of sucks. I haven't paid rent in the last 5 years.
Ouch. I mean, that's good, but ouch that you're gonna have to start paying that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not that bad, but still, it still doesn't really matter. I've got stuff going on with This Week in Geek. Nerd News Network will probably, by the time this episode airs, it will have already launched, but as we're recording this, we are Nerd News will be coming back Monday, June 14th. Yeah, Monday, June 14th. I'm doing that. As I mentioned back in episode 56, we just celebrated 1 year anniversary for Geekcast Radio, 1 year anniversary for this show. Everything. Oh God, I really
rolling along.
I was gonna start you. I'm not using that reference. So take it away with the history lesson, sir.
All right, Garfield and Friends, that's what we're supposed to be talking about. Yes, Garfield and Friends is an American animated television series based on the comic strip Garfield by Jim Davis. The show was produced by Phil Roman, who was on my top 10 list, in association with United Feature Syndicate and Paws, Inc., and ran on CBS Saturday mornings from 1988 to 1994, and on Nickelodeon in reruns from 97 to 2000. The show's 7 seasons make it one of the longest-running Saturday morning cartoons in history, with most only lasting 1 or 2 seasons, this one lasting 7. In Canada, it aired from 89 to 96. Regular segments featured both Garfield and U.S. Acres, a lesser-known comic strip also created by Jim Davis. The latter was retitled Orson's Farm for foreign syndication. 242 Garfield segments and 121 U.S. Acres segments were produced. There were 2 Garfield segments on each show, 2 quickie shorts based on Sunday comic strips, and in between was a U.S. Acres segment. A total of 121 half-hours were produced, and all have been released in the U.S. on 5 DVD sets by 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment. The first season aired in a half-hour format, and the second season it switched to an hour-length format, showing 2 episodes each week. However, in the show's last season, the second half-hour of the show featured either an episode from the previous season or one of Garfield's TV specials. So, what do you remember about Garfield and Friends?
I love this show. This was awesome. This is just so funny. It was like bringing the comic strip to life.
Yes.
It really was. It was, and I think, I can't be for certain, but I think Jim Davis worked very closely with these people.
Oh yeah, he had a lot of control. We'll put it nicely.
Yeah, and it just awesome. Now I had never really like I don't know. I remember watching the Garfield segments and the Garfield cookies, and then I remember watching the U.S. Acre stuff. But at first, I didn't really catch on to it. It wasn't really that, you know. You watch a Garfield cartoon for Garfield. Did he or Odie ever cross over into U.S. Acres? Like,
yes.
Like, you know how Yakko, Wakko, and Dot will do a run-through of a Pinky and the Brain cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, because I wasn't sure. Because I vaguely remember that happening, and I thought that was kind of funny, but...
I don't think it happened very often, but I do remember it happening at least once.
Yeah.
I have good memories of the show as well. I mean, just kind of like you, this was just a great show. Obviously, it was on... It kind of has the same effect as... Oh, shoot, I'm going to forget which one we were talking about. I think it was Gummy Bears or one of the ones we were talking about where it aired for so long that basically, you know, our childhood, it seems like it was almost always on. I mean, this one was from 88 to 94, so basically for me that was from when I was about 7 to when I was about 13. So those are some prime cartoon years where it's on the entire time. And I have good memories. I think it was one of the best comic strips made into a cartoon of all time. You know, I can't remember every single. You know, we've had Marmaduke, and we've had the Archies, and Beetle. I don't know if Beetle Bailey ever. Yeah, he showed up in a cartoon form at one point.
Don't mention Marmaduke. Oh God, kill me.
I'm just saying we've had so many. We've had so many that have shown up, and you know, with the exception of Peanuts, which is more just specials instead of. I mean, I know there was a couple cartoon series, but it's basically better as the specials. So with that exception, I'd say Garfield's probably one of the best comic to cartoon things that we've seen. As far as we're talking Sunday comic strip type stuff, we're not talking about comic books, obviously. I will differ from you a little bit, though. I actually liked the U.S. Acres segment better. I love both segments. I love both segments, and I love Garfield, and I loved everything about that. But for some reason, I was always drawn a little bit more to the characters in the U.S. Acres and some of the stories that they did. Unfortunately, they're a lot harder to find on. They're all on the DVD sets, but I don't have the DVD sets on YouTube and stuff like that. It's a lot easier to find Garfield than it is the U.S. Acres segments. But for some reason, I don't know. I liked the U.S. Acres a little better, but that's not to take away the fact that I love Garfield as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a great, great show. You know, some of the U.S. Acres bits I liked, with the two eggs. Oh, jeez. The chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
His brother that never hatched. Oh, what the hell was his name?
Bo and, I just lost my brain.
let me see here. Bo and Booker. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, who they were actually both voiced by Welker. So getting into the voice cast, you have Lorenzo Music as Garfield. Greg Berger as Odie, Orson, and Floyd. Tom Huge as John Arbuckle, Roy Rooster, Binky the Clown, and Gort. Wait, what's a Nebulon doing in Garfield?
What's that?
Oh, God. You so missed the Transformers reference there. Gort was one of the names Nebulons in Rebirth.
Yeah.
Julie Payne voiced Dr. Liz Wilson and Lanolin. Howard Morris voiced Wade the Duck and Wart. Frank Welker voiced Bo, Booker, Sheldon, and Mort.
And a lot of side characters. But
yeah, well, it's Frank Welker. I mean, come on. We aren't going to try to list all 200-something out of his, you know, credits.
Right.
Desiree Goyette played Nermal. Pat Buttram played Cactus Jake. Victoria Jackson played Penelope, and Gary Owens was the announcer. Hey, there's an unexpected gadget.
Also, just to mention that Don Messick did appear in this as Ludlow the Bird, and I can't confirm this 1,000%, but from everything I've read, when Lorenzo Music was not available to do Garfield, if he was sick or this or that, Dave Coulier from Full House stepped in to do Garfield for him.
Mm.
So
I need written newsworthy confirmation.
That would surprise me, because
I don't believe that.
I do, because Coulier stepped in for a lot of people back in those couple years. He did the same thing on Muppet Babies and a couple other shows where he took over for certain people, and I don't know. He's such an impressionist that I'm pretty sure it could be true.
I don't know.
But obviously Lorenzo Music was the one doing it 99% of the time.
Yeah. In addition to the regular voice cast, there have been several celebrity guest stars who did voice acting on Garfield and Friends. They earned, well, yeah, we're not going to do chronological order. Robin Leach played himself. Let's see. Jack Nicholson. What? Oh, yeah, his constant love of the Lakers. Let's see. June Foray. Reprising her role as Witch Hazel, or a witch character, essentially reprising her role of Witch Hazel. Paul Winchell,
twice, yeah.
Yeah. James Earl, wow, Darth Vader, holy crap. Yeah.
The Micro Machine guy.
John Machida Jr., Blur, yeah.
Yep.
Don Knotts, oh god, Barney was in this, oh my god. George Foreman plays a boxer named George Fisticuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think as far as this voice cast goes, it did a good job of blending different eras together. We've had a couple shows that have done that, but you know, with some guest appearances by Paul Winchell and June Foray and Don Messick, and then you have one of the main voices there, Howard Morris, who you might be familiar with as Adam Ant. Breezley from Breezley and Sneasley, Mr. Peebles from Magilla Gorilla, Mushmouse from Punkin' Puss and Mushmouse. So you had all those old guys, and then you're blending them in with, you know, people like Greg Berger, Lorenzo Music, Frank Welker, who was kind of both old and new. But it was just kind of a nice blend, I think, of past and present voice actors.
I'm honestly very, very surprised that Greg Berger plays Odie, because you would think that with, you know, honestly, if you, outside of Garfield and maybe John Arbuckle, if you took the rest of the cast, you could have Frank talking to himself for hours.
Yeah, you could. The interesting thing about Greg Berger is that he does Odie in the new one, too.
Oh, does he?
Yep, he did Odie in the original, and he does Odie in the whatever year that new one came out, last year, the year before, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of cool that he kept the role.
Yeah.
And like we said, Frank Welker was in both shows just as different characters.
Yeah.
Great voice cast.
Yeah, very, very well done voice cast. As far as the characters, Odie was yellow, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a yellow beagle. Honestly. Okay, Orange Cat I can kind of, you know... You know, I've seen orange cats before, but a yellow dog, I've never seen. Like, and I'm not talking like golden yellow, like a golden retriever. I'm not talking yellow like, you know, some sort of dark, very dark gray pouponish character or color. I'm talking about bright, in your face, mustard yellow.
Yep.
I've never seen a dog.
Brown ears and mustard yellow body.
Yeah, I've never seen a dog that color, ever. They must have spray-painted it like they did with the dog in Enemy of the State. They were going to spray-paint it green.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You did just go there.
Yes. Hey, Enemy of the State's a good movie. Shut up.
No, I don't. I'm not saying it's not. We're going to have PETA after us for talking about spray-painting animals. No, I'm just kidding.
No, wait a second here. I didn't say I spray-painted animals. Of course, I let a few cats run loose in the dryer while it was going, but that was when I was
Jesus.
11 years old. But anyway.
Oh, God.
Yes, this show is slowly going down the tubes. It's 60 episodes. Can you fucking blame us? We're going crazy. There's only 40 episodes left. All right, so the characters. Why don't you take Garfield, because I don't...
All right, obviously Garfield's the fat, lazy, orange tabby cat. Once described by his owner John as an orange meatball with stripes, who basically wants nothing more out of life than to eat and sleep. He's your typical lazy person. That's why kids loved him. He loves lasagna, enjoys tormenting Odie, likes trying to mail Nermal to Abu Dhabi. I always loved that. He did make a small handful of appearances on U.S. Acres, once wearing nothing but a black mask over his eyes as his disguise, but was more often seen in the form of various Garfield merchandise the characters appeared to own. Deep down, Garfield loves John and Odie. Garfield's mouth doesn't move. The audience hears his thoughts.
I think that's very well done, because that's the point of... And that again, is going to be a difference between this original cartoon and, of course, the new cartoon. His mouth does kind of move in the new one, I think.
Yeah, and a difference between Garfield segments and U.S. Acre segments.
Yeah, but the point of the Garfield segments was, how do you take Garfield off the strip with the bubbles, animate him, and have him talking to you like there are bubbles above his head, but there aren't really. And I think that was very well done as far as not having his mouth move.
I think it was a very cool thing that you don't see hardly ever. You don't usually see that. You know, we're going to take these animals that everyone knows can't really talk, and we're not going to make them talk. We're just going to let you hear their thoughts, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that's an outstanding idea, and I'm surprised more cartoons didn't take that angle at some points.
Yes. Odie, a beagle who used to belong to John's former roommate, Lyman, who never appeared on the show, but was a character who appeared in the earliest comic strips, is often kicked off the kitchen table by Garfield, looks incredibly stupid and gullible, but is actually much more cunning and smart than he lets on. Odie is the only animal character who doesn't communicate with any form of dialogue, solely communicating with body language and his enthusiastic barking and other dog sound effects. Yeah, Odie is awesome in this. I love Odie.
Yeah.
You don't need Odie to talk. You just don't.
No, you don't at all. And then, of course, obviously the owner, John Arbuckle, a bachelor cartoonist who has poor luck with women and a somewhat nerdy demeanor. He's often annoyed by some of Garfield's antics and also has an unrequited love for Dr. Liz. Whenever Garfield gets in trouble, John will punish him by taking him to the vet. John also has a mission set before him, get Garfield to do the right thing. John occasionally forces Garfield to hunt and catch mice, which is always unsuccessful due to Garfield's general liking of the mice in the house. And John constantly forces Garfield to go on a diet.
Yes.
I think John was my least favorite character out of the Garfield segments. Not that he was a bad character, but just the other ones were so good. You know, I just loved Garfield, I loved Odie, and I loved some of the minor characters, so John kind of fell in the shadows, even though he was still a decent character.
His voice fits what I had, like, when I was watching this, when I was that age back then that it was on, the voice that, oh, crap, I'm not scrolling up the page, whoever voices him,
this is the only show I think he's ever done, he ever did, too.
Yeah, it's the voice I hear in my head when I go to read the Garfield strip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say what you want about the character of John, but the voicing, as we've kind of already lamented on it, but when I very rarely nowadays I'll actually get a Sunday paper, but when I do, when I read the Garfield strip, I hear that voice of John in my head when reading that strip. So, you know, the character may be meh, but at least the voice was good.
Yeah, agreed.
And then, I don't know why this is a damn character, but you have Pookie, Garfield's teddy bear and sleeping companion, who John is jealous of.
Yeah.
Found in a drawer, and he's Garfield's only toy, Garfield's adopted alter ego, the Caped Avenger, after temporarily losing Pookie. Whatever. Yeah. You can, I don't think we have to say about Pookie.
No, For the minor characters, though, I mean, we don't need to necessarily go deep into them, but you have probably the most famous two are Binky the Clown, which obviously he's right out of a horror show or something like that. I hate
it's
clowns.
It's Krusty the Clown before The Simpsons, basically.
Yeah, it basically is, and he even had his own little starring, like, little snippets, but Binky the Clown, annoying, freaky-looking clown, everybody should remember him. Nermal, the kitten that's always me, and the cute little gray kitten that Garfield wants to ship to Abu Dhabi, and I think I'm right on this. Normal in the new series is a boy cat.
Yeah. I don't
know. I don't know why they changed that, but they did. And then the mailman, Herman Post, and the vet that John loves, Dr. Liz Wilson. So those are kind of like the main minor characters of the show, of the Garfield segments.
The normal changing sexes is reminiscent of Care Bears.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of freaky.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know why either, because Normal was perfect as a cute little gray female kitten. I thought that was great,
mm-hmm.
compared to the fat, lazy Garfield. So, but, you know, it's a good cast of characters for the Garfield segments, fairly small. I mean, obviously, most of the time you're just focusing on Garfield, and I think that's one reason why I kind of like the U.S. Acre segments a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
just because they had a bigger variety of characters to either like or dislike.
Yeah, really quick, getting into the USA, or the U.S. Acres. You have Orson. Friendly Pig, whose favorite pastime is reading books and imagining himself into many scenarios, a la Walter Mitty. Orson also has two missions set before him. Get Roy to do the right thing, and get Wade to be brave. Yeah, like that's going to happen.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You got Roy, who's a self-centered rooster, practical joker. You got Wade, the cowardly duck, who was in my top 10 duck roles. Bo and Lamellen, which are the two sheep, male and female. And then, like we said, Booker and Sheldon, the egg and the chick. Just kind of a good idea. It's just kind of a crazy idea to have an egg with feet popped out.
Well, it kind of makes you wonder which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Yeah, and Sheldon always seems to have things in his shell that he can bring out or mm-hmm. pull out and do. But it's just a great main cast. I love Roy and I love Wade. I just think they're great. Wade, obviously, Howard Morris voiced him, and Roy was the same guy that did John. But I just love the egotistical practical joker in Roy and the cowardly Wade, and then Orson trying to just be the good guy, trying to get everybody to get along and do the right thing. I didn't really care for Bo or Lanolin.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean,
Booker and Sheldon are all right.
Kind of bickered back and forth with each other, but meh.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And the bad guys, I couldn't stand the bad guys in this character, Mort, Gort, and Wart, Orson's older brothers, but they did do a good job of being bad guys in the show. And then you have the wolf, the weasel, the fox, the worms. You had basically just other types of animals as kind of antagonists.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like the dynamics between Roy and Wade and Orson. I love that. I love the U.S. Acre segments because of that.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
So those are the main characters in both segments. And it gives you
Who was your favorite character out of the Garfield segment?
I don't want to say it, but I'll probably say Garfield. Yeah. It seems like such a cheating thing to say, but because there wasn't that many characters in the Garfield segments, and he was so funny, and his dialogue was written so well, obviously, you didn't have him as a... There's... Like, when you're in an action cartoon or whatever, you know, you could say Optimus Prime has a lot of the same character traits as, you know, whoever, He-Man or, like, Duke or whatever. But how many cartoon characters were everything you're not supposed to be as a kid or everything that your parents tell you not to do or not to be? I mean, you got this guy that just loves to eat, loves to be lazy, loves to get out of doing work, loves to torment his, we'll call them siblings, you know, the other pets that are around. So, I mean... He's just everything that a kid would want to be able to do and not get yelled at.
Outside of the sibling thing, unfortunately, even to this day, I think I'm Garfield.
But, I mean, name me one other cartoon. I mean, I'm sure there is some out there, but he's so unique because there's not very many cartoon characters, at least in shows that we've covered, that have these personality traits.
No, there isn't.
So I think that's really cool.
For me... It has to be, just for the sheer fact that I feel sorry for the thing, or for the guy, and I feel that just conveying emotions through sound effects, it has to be Odie for me, as far as the Garfield segments, because Now, I think that I like Garfield in the sense of him constantly trying to ship Normal off.
That's so funny.
Funny as hell. But overall, for me, for the Garfield segments, I like Odie. What about for U.S. Acres for you?
Easily Wade the Duck. I love Wade the Duck. I know he's this cowardice, like, just pathetic character, and maybe that's why I have sympathy for him, but I don't know. I just love Wade the Duck. I can't explain it. I just do. With Roy as a second.
Yeah, I actually have to go the complete opposite way. I liked Booker and Sheldon the most. Because, yeah. Well, which one was it?
Sheldon's the egg.
Yeah, Sheldon. Wow, that's kind of weird. I like Sheldon the best on this show, but I can't stand Sheldon on The Big Bang Theory. Holy crap.
Oh, my.
What? The Big Bang Theory's cool. Shut up.
I didn't say anything bad about it.
You're right. I just thought that was so cool. So, all right, moving into the behind-the-scenes segments here. As far as some of the production stuff, when the show was originally broadcast on CBS, the episodes usually had three quickies, 30 to 45-second gags, usually two Garfield quickies, the first one being played before the intro theme, and one U.S. Acres quickie, the latter of which was never shown in syndication. Midway through the second season, Screaming with Binky quickie-style segments were added. These Screaming with Binky segments were typically used as the halfway point of an hour-long blocks of Garfield and Friends, as Garfield ended each one with We'll Be Right Back, to let the viewers know that unlike most Saturday morning cartoons at the time, it was not over in the usual half hour. The DVD sets and Boomerang reruns restore the original rotation after the third season. Only one Garfield quickie is shown per episode. The syndication Garfield and Friends aired in 30-minute format consisting of one Garfield cartoon, one U.S. Acres cartoon with a quickie closing the episode. The rerun package used the theme that debuted during the show's third season.
I just want to say real quick on the quickie things. That was one thing where I differed. Like, in the regular actual cartoons, I like the U.S. Acres segments better. With the quickies, though, I love the Garfield quickies. The U.S. Acre quickies were all right. I did not like the Screaming with Binky quickies.
No, I hated those.
I could have done without those, especially because the Garfield ones were so good that I just would have rather seen more of the Garfield quickies, or even the U.S. Acres quickies. But I could have done without Screaming with Binky.
Yeah, Screaming with Binky is basically Krusty the Clown before he was Krusty the Clown.
Yeah.
And twice as more annoying. I'm not going to go through the broadcast, the syndication history. That's just
right.
Where it's been shown. As far as the cancellation, the seventh season, 1994-95, was the last one because CBS wanted to cut the budget, and in fact, CBS's Saturday morning cartoon lineup would be mostly replaced by CBS News Saturday Morning a few years later. The production company nixed this proposal so that they mutually agreed to cease production, even though Garfield and Friends had still been doing well in the ratings. I hate when people do this.
This is the darkest hour of cartoon history. It was the mid-90s, I swear to God.
Oh, it was! I hate when people do this. I hate the fact that if I turn on any of the big four or five, whatever the hell it is now, of network television on Saturday morning, outside of CW, and I see fucking news programming.
Well, they did one of two things. They either went to the news programming or they went to, and I'm not a hater on these types of shows, but they went to the Saved by the Bell, California Dreams, the more teenage live action stuff is what they did.
I don't have a problem with the teenage live action crap, but
well, I don't either. But when it's replacing cartoons, it kind of sucks.
Well, right, I agree to that. But what I have an issue with is replacing, like, all right, Sunday through Friday. You can have news. Saturday morning, give us our fucking cartoons, you bastards.
Yeah. But I really literally think, I mean, it's not the worst decade in cartoon history, because the 70s might be, but but it did a good job of you know, just taking a major hit to cartoons. I mean, we had certain stations just canceling altogether, but, you know, 92 to about 96 was just a horrible set of years, and if it wasn't for a couple select cartoons like Animaniacs and Tiny Toons and some of the other ones we've covered, the 90s would have almost just been a complete loss for cartoons, just because of the damn Saturday morning, you know, cutback. I freaking hate that.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's fine.
I'll contain myself because I could get a lot more pissed off at the networks.
I already am, so it doesn't matter to me.
There's something funny that I'll bring up later, though, in correlation to this, though.
Mm.
So I'll bring that up later. But going into the writers, obviously you have Jim Davis, the guy who did everything, basically, as the main writer. I don't know the other two, Mark Evanier and Sharman Devano.
I've seen Mark Evanier's name places. I don't know what else he's written, but I've seen his name places.
But it's basically the Jim Davis show.
Yeah.
And I don't know any of the directors.
Nope. So going into the actual show, this will be different than most of the other ones that we do because of the fact that the way it's broken up into the segments. So each episode featured the following segments. Garfield Quickie. This was a segment of the show that featured Garfield's Sunday strips from the mid to late 1980s.
The best part of the show.
Well, right. Right.
That, to me, that was the best segment. The Garfield Quickie was the best thing of the whole show.
The theme. This usually started with a formal-style Garfield on the fence turning on a record player and an announcer introducing the show. See the theme song section. Oh, okay, well, whatever. Stupid thing. The first Garfield story. This is a general Garfield episode taking on more domestic nature and mostly involving John and Odie. U.S. Acres... Quickie. This Quickie usually aired before the main story and featured strips from the newspaper run for that series. U.S. Acres Story. Story episode featured the U.S. Acres gang in various situations, included a song segment that built on the episode's theme. Yeah, you can read the next one there.
And you had the screaming with Bink.
Yes.
Followed by, and that was what basically, you know, separated the show, like we said, in between its 2.5-hour segments. And then you go back with the second Garfield Quickie, just like the first, except it would be followed by another Garfield episode. And then finally, the second Garfield story, another story starring Garfield. Those stories may have a domestic nature. We might see a parody teaching segment that featured a Garfield lecture of some sort or learning situation, different themes like that. And then, of course, the end musical theme.
Yes. So,
you know, like I said before, I think the Garfield Quickie is my favorite part. I still like the U.S. Acres story and the Garfield story, and then after that would be the U.S. Acres Quickie, and then finally the Screaming with Binky Quickie.
Yeah, I did not care for the Screaming with Binky anything. It's basically Roy on drugs.
Yeah, it's just horrible.
Ooh, remind me to come back to that after we're done with this. Anyways, moving into the music segment here, the theme song. The show had three different theme songs. The first one was used during the first two seasons and was also occasionally hummed or sung by the characters within the show. It was a song and dance style number about friendship. Friends are there to help you get started, to give you a push on your way. It was animated by alternating segments of Garfield and the U.S. Acres characters. The second theme song first appeared in the third season and was used for most of the rest of the show's run. The theme was an up-tempo version, featured clips from shows and based on party-themed lyrics. In the seventh and final season, an upbeat rap-based theme song was used by sung by J.R. Johnston. Oh, God. Christ. A recurring joke in the theme song is that in each episode, Garfield says a different quote at the end, such as, "Welcome to my world, did you bring food?" It doesn't start until the fat lady sings. I think
you use that one a lot.
Yeah, I think you got this thing confused. I'm real and you're animated. I can't believe we get away with this every week. Or, hey, Heathcliff, eat your heart out. Wow, that's going to come back to haunt us next week.
This is when I want to bring in the other thing that I was going to say, because one of the other things that he said at the end of the show, I love this one. It was during the first show of the 1992-1993 season.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "And don't bother checking what's on NBC. They're not running cartoons anymore."
Yeah.
So that directly relates, obviously, to the fact that NBC had stopped before CBS on running cartoons at all. So it's kind of a jab at them, even though they would do the same thing in a couple of years. But I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. The series music was done by Ed Bogus and Desiree Goyette.
with all the voice actors.
Yeah.
The theme song was alright. I wouldn't put it in my top 50 of the 80s theme songs. Well, I shouldn't say that. I wouldn't put it in my top 25. It'd probably be in the top 50. But it was an alright song. It just wasn't as good as a lot of the other ones we talked about, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah,
It's iconic, but it's just not as good as...
I like the one they used in season 3. The one where Gary Owen says, "Hey, kids, hey, it's Garfield," and whatever the hell he said. That's... Whatever that one is what the actual theme is that I play for this episode, so...
Yeah, that's the best one out of
them. Yeah. So I guess going into the legacy segment...
I do have, before you go too far, I just want to interrupt you again. Because I got to get something off my chest here. Yes, IGN.
Oh! yeah, it wasn't on the,
not on the top 100.
Well, no, it wasn't on the, it wasn't on the wiki, so I don't have it.
Yeah, it's not in the, they don't have Garfield in the top 100 cartoons of all time.
Oh, okay, that's why I don't have it, because it's...
Not only is that absolutely ridiculous, that's probably the biggest snub in IGN's entire list, possibly. I would put Garfield as one of the top 10 to 15 cartoons of the 80s. Easy. Probably top 10.
Yeah.
Just because of how long it was on, and how good it was, and how it stands up the test of time, and all this stuff. IGN didn't even frickin' put it on their list, because they're frickin' morons. And one other thing I wanted to add, just because I didn't see it anywhere else, is Garfield and Friends actually did win a Young Artist Award in 1989 for Best Animation Series.
Oh, cool.
So it did win one award. So I'll stop interrupting.
Fox Entertainment and Jim Davis released all 7 seasons of Garfield and Friends, 2 Region 1 DVD and 5 volume box sets, with each set having 24 to 25 episodes on 3 discs. Each set features an image of Garfield with a character from U.S. Acres. Collections of individual episodes were also released in 3 themed volumes that had 13 to 15 episodes and were packaged with mini beanie plushies of Pookie, Odie, and Garfield. Oh, God. Oh, crap. Yeah, so, and these were all released between 2004 and 2008. So, very, very cool. I don't have information on it because it wasn't in the wiki article when I grabbed this. Should we talk about the movies?
I don't know.
Well, I'll give it one.
We have talked about the other cartoons, so I suppose it's only fair to say a few things
about
them.
I don't think I've seen Tale of Two Kitties, the sequel, but I saw the original one with Breckenmeyer and I almost said Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
That's the only reason it's worth talking about, by the way.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Good Lord. Anyway.
I thought that Breckenmeyer did okay as John.
Yeah,
I thought he nailed the lovelorn thing for Liz thing. I thought those two did well together. Bill Murray as Garfield is just a sheer stroke of genius.
Oh yeah,
obviously.
And Jennifer Love Hewitt's a sheer stroke of genius, just for being Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is that, you know, we don't have Mr. Music anymore, or we didn't. Right. You know, even then, when the original film was made, 4, 5, 6 years ago, however long it's been, Bill Murray just nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the actual plot, what plot?
There didn't need to be a plot.
Yeah, exactly.
You had Bill Murray doing a cartoon cat, and you had Jennifer Love Hewitt to look at. That's all you needed.
Yeah. Did Welker do Odie?
I don't know who did Odie in the movie. I know Berger did Odie in both series.
I'll have to look it up really quick.
Garfield's had some great voices.
Yeah.
Learn some music, Frank Welker, and Bill Murray is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But You know, I think the movies are what they were. I mean, they're not the best adaptation of a cartoon into a movie that we've seen, but they're probably better than... I mean, I haven't seen Underdog and a couple of those other ones, but...
You don't want to see Underdog, I'm telling you.
Garfield ones were probably better than that.
You don't want to see Underdog.
I don't think it's... I don't think Garfield was as good as the Alvin and the Chipmunks movies, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I do like the second series, too. I think most Garfield stuff that I've seen, I've liked. I like the comic strip. I like the original cartoon. I like the new cartoon. And the movies were okay. Movies are the worst part of all of them, but at least you have to listen to Bill Murray.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I wish he would be in the cartoon. I really do. I thought that, you know, that would have been a really, really good thing. Oh, come on.
He's too busy.
Well, you know, that too. Yeah, I'm on IMDb now, and I have to actually click see more to even see if Odie's even listed.
Oh.
I don't think he is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Nermal's listed, but Odie isn't? What the hell? Unless my eyes are deceiving me, yeah, Odie isn't even... Was Odie even in the first film?
Maybe not, I don't know. Hey, you had to be, though. You would think it had to be. I haven't seen it in so long, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not rewatching it to find out.
Yeah, somebody watch Garfield and let us know. Garfield the movie, 2004. Kevin the Mystery Caller, get on that.
Tell us if Odie was in it and who voiced him.
Yes.
If he had a voice or sound effects.
Yes. All right, so we're going to head out, and we'll be back with final thoughts.
Dreamcast will be back after these messages.
This is The Brain, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Yes!
Do not be alarmed. This transmission is being jacked by The Lunchroom. We are here to tell you that The Lunchroom has been rebooted. It is now a part of the Geekcast Radio Network, and is still available at thelunchroom.net. It debuts every Monday or Wednesday, or whenever we see fit to give it to you. Any further information can be found at thelunchroom.net. We will now return you to your regular program.
Did you know that Justin Bieber is actually Webster in a girl suit? Did you know that Teddy Ruxpin's friend Grubby actually a tapeworm?
Did you know that Gargamel is really a cat lady?
Did you know that Billy Zane is the only man to ever beat Chuck Norris? If you didn't know any of these things, then you should be currently listening to Chicken Pop Pod Retro Comedy Podcast. Catch it at chickenpoppod.com.
Indeed I am, Michael, and I am here to help you and Kevin take over podcasting.
Now back to Dreamcast.
So, final thoughts on Garfield and Friends.
You know, I think Garfield and Friends was absolutely great for what it was. I think it broke the mold for certain types of cartoons. I mean, obviously you had similar cartoons to it beforehand, but I think I almost look at Garfield and Friends as kind of like the precursor to Animaniacs and Tiny Toons and some of the stuff that they did there.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it was one of these shows that wasn't just for kids, it was for all ages. It did clever things with the, you know, having the voice without the mouth moving. It had a lot of comic type stuff. Obviously, the whole show is basically a comedy. I mean, it did a lot of things that you couldn't find in any other shows in the 80s at that time. I mean, the closest ones to it, I don't even know if you could have a closest ones to it. I mean, Alvin and the Chipmunks, maybe, but it's not even really the same type of show. So, I mean, it was kind of in a league of its own in the 80s, and it ran for so long that, to me, there's absolutely no doubt that it deserves a spot in the top 10 cartoons of the entire decade. It was just a great cartoon, and I think one of the things that's best about it is the fact that you can still watch it today and still enjoy it, and it's not really dated, or it's not like a lot of my other favorite shows where it's a little harder to watch these days. It's absolutely watchable now.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree, so... I really don't have any problems with it other than that. Every now and then, I wanted to just strangle Wade the Duck. Just because, Jesus Christ, man. Just get in the fuck. Take your fucking duck thing off your fucking head, or your waist or whatever, and get in the fucking water and swim, you dumb fucking duck. Go take some lessons from Daffy and Donald, you bastard.
I love Wade.
God. Anyways, thank you for joining us here on DudeCast. There's some ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forums, predicateempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Show name there is GCRNTuneCast. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
Boss K-Dog.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. Be sure to check out blogomatic3000.com. Phil Wheat does all the stuff over there. Very good. It's our UK affiliate for Geekcast Radio Network. He does very awesome posts every week about all the episodes that we have for the previous week that have been released. So we hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you'll join us next time. We'll be reminiscing on none other than Garfield's rival, Heathcliff.
Yay.
Why am I thinking about Cosby Show right about now? Oh my god. for now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Audi Columbus, luxury meets convenience. Browse our selection online and complete your purchase from home. Then simply stop by to pick up your keys. The next generation shops online. Experience the future with us at AudiColumbus.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.